2 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 5. Peter writes, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these quantities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." As you come to this portion of Scripture, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Lord, we look to you this morning, again, to apply these words from Peter to our lives today. Lord, again, not that they'd be some old dusty words, but they'd be alive and living in our lives and hearts. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. When I sat down to work on this sermon a couple weeks ago, the world was in a mess. Russia had just launched an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile, capable of carrying a nuclear warhead 3,500 miles and able to evade any anti-missile defense. The intensity of the war in the Ukraine was increasing. There's more and more concern about the use of poison gas or nuclear weapons. A bird flu was sweeping across the world, leading to millions of chickens and turkeys being killed, as well as affecting birds in the wild. COVID was still a thing. Shanghai, a town of 28 million people, was under severe lockdown. Infection rates seemed to be increasing, and mask wearing or not mask wearing was going to the courts. The many agendas of the LGBTQ groups were being forced on the world and have made it even into churches. Wallet Hub. Most of you don't even know what Wallet Hub is. Wallet Hub has come up with a small chip which can be implanted in a hand or an arm to take the place of our credit card. And in 1.5 weeks, 2 weeks since then, things haven't gotten any better. You know, as Peter sat in prison awaiting his death, a death on a cross, he could have had the same sense of futility. Jerusalem had been at war with Rome for 2 years, since AD 66. And Peter doesn't know, but we know in hindsight, that Jerusalem's going to be captured in AD 70 and totally destroyed by the Roman government. The walls, the buildings are just gone. Over 1 million Jews were going to be killed in that episode. Homosexuality, pedophilia, was rampant in Rome and throughout the Roman Empire. Christians were being persecuted by Nero, by the Roman government. For example, they're being burned as torches in Nero's gardens. They've been fed to the lions in the Colosseums. False teachers and their teachings had wormed their way into churches themselves. In fact, turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. To give you Peter's words instead of just Pastor Steve's words. 2 Peter chapter 2, just verses 1 and 2. Peter writes, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute." Things don't seem to change in 2,000 years. As Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9, "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun." So considering all that's happening, Peter wrote to these new Christians about how to deal with the issues that they were facing. And because there's nothing new under the sun, I think Peter's words are applicable to us today as well. Don't stop now. Grow in your Christian faith. You think about it, where there is life, there's growth. We've watched little Frank and Leo for the last year grow from tiny little preemies to the babies that we saw a couple weeks ago at Easter. We've watched Natalia Messenio grow from a baby like her baby sister Isabella Rose to the bubbly little girl we see now. Similarly, the new birth of a Christian isn't the end. It's just the beginning. As Peter wrote earlier in the chapter we looked at last week, God gives his children all they need to live godly lives. He has given them very great and precious promises, as Peter wrote. So with this in mind, Peter wrote, "For this very reason, for all that God has done for you, make every effort to add to your faith." In other words, grow in your Christian life. Don't stop now. But Christian growth isn't automatic. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act to his good purpose." This growing up as a Christian is a joint effort between the Christian and God. This is the goal to which we need to devote ourselves, body and soul, every day of our lives. This growing includes these seven characteristics of a godly life. Characteristics that are built on faith in Jesus. Characteristics that will help Christians get through this chaos, this mess of life. The first characteristic that Peter wrote is a characteristic of goodness, of goodness. Other translations call it moral excellence. This characteristic makes one a good citizen, a good friend, a good ambassador for God. Goodness really is courage to do the good and the right thing. Again, goodness is courage to do the good and the right thing. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is talking to his followers. We're just going to take a few verses out of the middle. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Make every effort to add goodness to your walk as a Christian. The second characteristic is knowledge. Knowledge. The word used by Peter suggests a practical knowledge, a discernment. This is knowledge that enables a Christian to make right decisions based on God's will. To know God's will, as Lois kind of said, requires studying, meditating, reading God's word. Not just on Sunday morning when you put up with Pastor Steve talking for 20, 30 minutes, but time daily to read. This is how one comes truly to know God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman, who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." Knowledge is knowing God and his will. And then, self-control. Self-control. Proverbs 16:32 says, "Better to be slow to anger than to be a mighty warrior. And one who controls his temper is better than one who captures a city." Paul often compared the Christian to an athlete who must exercise, discipline himself if he ever hopes to win the race. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 24. We read, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, Paul writes, 'I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. A growing Christian controls his passions, controls his appetites, has self-control. A fourth characteristic is perseverance. Perseverance. Similar to self-control, but self-control has to do with handling the pleasures of life. Perseverance deals primarily to the pressures and the problems of life. Perseverance isn't being stoic. Perseverance doesn't just simply accept and endure the problems. There's also a looking forward in perseverance. For example, in Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. We must, by faith, let our trials work for us and not against us. Like all characteristics, perseverance, or patience, if you please, is not something that comes automatically. Christians must work on it. Something you read later on during the week is James chapter 1 talks about perseverance and using it to grow. Christians must expect trials to come, because without trials, we can never learn patience. No one enjoys trials, but the Christian knows that in trials, God will be at work, causing everything to work together for the Christian's good and for God's glory. Perseverance is enduring while looking ahead. Fifth characteristic, godliness. Godliness. Peter, way back in verse 3 of chapter 1, that God gives Christians everything we need for life and godliness. But it's a Christian's responsibility to use the power God has made available and actually work at becoming the person who pleases God in every phase of life. That is, to live a godly life. A godly Christian lives above the petty things of life, the passions and pleasures that control the lives of others. Instead, he seeks to do the will of God. And as he does, he seeks the welfare of others, as Jesus did. The godly Christian makes the kind of decisions that are right and noble. He doesn't take an easy road simply to avoid pain and trial. He does what is right because it is right and because it is the will of God. A Christian is walking in Jesus' steps. Godliness is walking as Jesus would walk. And if one is living a godly life, then the sixth characteristic of brotherly kindness, filial love, will follow. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another and to in honor." Hebrews 13:1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." 1 John 4:20 says, "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love his brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." Then the last characteristic is love, agape love, sacrificial love. This is the love that God had for us that sent Jesus to the cross to die for us. This is the love described in 1 Corinthians 13. The love the Holy Spirit produces in our hearts as we walk in the power of the Spirit. When we have brotherly love, we love because of the likenesses that we have to each other. But with agape love, we love in spite of the differences that we have. So after giving these seven characteristics, God, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, agape love, Peter then gave three results of true spiritual growth. The first result is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. He wrote, "If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in a knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." The more one becomes like Jesus Christ and develops these seven characteristics, the more the Holy Spirit can use him or her in witnessing and in serving him. On the other hand, The believer who is not growing is ineffective and unproductive. A lack of knowledge of an intimate knowing of Jesus Christ produces nothing practical in a Christian's life. The characteristics of a Christian exist within us because as Christians, we all possess the Holy Spirit and its fruit, but we must cultivate them so that they increase and produce fruit in and through our lives. The second result of spiritual growth is spiritual vision. Spiritual vision. When a person is born again, his eyes are opened. He can see the kingdom of God. In John 3:3, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Peter wrote that if one doesn't develop these characteristics, he'll be nearsighted and blind. He won't see all that God wants him to see. Such a person will be ineffective as an ambassador for God. In John 4, verse 35, Jesus said, "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the field. They are white for harvest." If we forget what God has done for us, we will not be excited to share Jesus Christ with others. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been cleansed and forgiven. God has opened your eyes. We must not forget what he has done for us. Life is too short. The needs of the world are too great for God's people to walk around with their eyes closed and not seeing what's happening. And finally, when Peter wrote, "Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure," he was emphasizing that the growth of these seven characteristics is evidence that such a person has responded to God's call and that he or she is truly a child of God. The third result of spiritual growth is a surety of salvation. A surety of salvation. With all these characteristics in one's life, one never needs to doubt that he's a child of God. His life in Christ, filled with the fruit of the Spirit, is proof that he's truly a child of God. It is possible for an unbeliever to have some of these characteristics, some of the time. But for a child of God, he or she has everything he needs for life and godliness. He will have all of these characteristics, and they are forever growing. Philippians 3:12 says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Not only will a growing Christian be sure of his salvation, but he can look forward to a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No growing believer needs to live with doubt about salvation, and he can be sure of a glorious welcome to heaven. As Philippians 3:13-14 finishes saying, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The Christian life begins with faith. Faith in Jesus Christ as one makes Jesus his Lord and Savior. But true faith will lead to spiritual growth, unless it's a dead faith. But a dead faith is not a saving faith. James 2:26 says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Living faith leads to growth, and growth leads to practical results in life and in service. People with this kind of Christian experience are not going to lose their joy because of wars and rumors of wars, because of epidemics and pandemics, or even fall prey to false teachers. Instead of focusing on all these things around them, their eyes are on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. They know that as Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 40, "They've been used to tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Don't stop now. Press on. Grow up as a child of God. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us all the tools that we need. Lord, help each one of us to grow with you. Lord, to spend time in your word, to spend that time with you. And Lord, help our Christian lives not to remain as infants, as babies, but help us grow as your children. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.